Welcome to The Coaching Show with your hosts, Master Certified Coach Christopher McAuliffe and Professional Certified Coach Tara Padova-Wise.
Hey, that's us.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello. I'm back in the studio. Can you tell?
Yeah, I can tell.
How are you today?
I'm good, actually. It's nice, cool weather.
Okay, and we've lost... Well, we talk about the weather. That's what happens on this radio show. So welcome to The Coaching Show, the interviews each week in live with people on the cutting edge of the fledgling industry, I suppose, service industry of coaching. Today we've got a celebrity and we've got a review. So celebrity coach and review. We're going to review the Conversation Among Masters conference, and our first guest is both a PhD, he's originally from Australia, and is a celebrity life coach, also an author, an expert in human behavior and relationships, and a clinical hypnotherapist. Tara, are you back?
I'm back.
Watch yourself. He's a clinical hypnotherapist. You may be hypnotized right now. That may have been what had your phone go wonky. He's appeared on such luminary programs as Fox News, MSNBC, CNN. He's been in Rolling Stone magazine, my second favorite, as well as S Weekly, OK Magazine, Awakenings, and more. He's the first person to ever do clinical therapy on national television. Please welcome to our program Patrick Wanis. Dr. Wanis, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Tara.
Good morning.
Tara's a sucker for accents, I should let you know ahead of time.
I'm a sucker for accents, but I totally get that Patrick's perfect for you because celebrity smut is completely your stuff. I was looking at Patrick's website, and I'm like, who are these people? Oh, that's right, I live in a cave, but this is perfect for Christopher.
Right, you wouldn't know Montel Williams or the greatest wrestler of all time, Hulk Hogan. I see how you are. Okay, well, one of the things we want to talk about, Patrick, is the mistakes coaches are making these days. What I understand that you've done some work with other coaches and you've come up with a list of at least three mistakes that coaches are making that we need to stop making right now. Yeah.
Yes, it's not just Chris. It's not just working with other coaches. It's identifying coaches, therapists, counselors, psychologists, and psychiatrists who all make the same mistake when working with clients or patients. And I call these the three most dangerous and harmful mistakes that any person working with a client can make, but obviously specifically with coaches. And step one is clear out your own stuff. Now, I've stated that in the positive. The negative would be if you haven't healed yourself and here you are either coaching, working, counseling, or attempting to heal other people, because then what happens is you bring your own issues, your own insecurities, not just to the table, but to the client and to your approach in helping the client.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have people that write to me and say, and this is actually an email I got just last week saying, you know, I want to be a life coach. How can I be as great and as successful as you? And that's very humbling and very nice. But the first thing I say to everyone who approaches me and says, look, you know, I want to be a life coach, I say, well, the easiest thing is step one, make sure that you work on yourself first. I remember when I was studying hypnotherapy, the first thing we had to do was actually have hypnosis done on ourselves, which makes complete sense. So, for example, how can I coach someone to be kind, loving, or forgiving if I'm not kind, loving, or forgiving? I can't teach that because all I know it is in a form of theory. How can I teach someone financial success if I don't know financial success? So, obviously, you know, you've got to be skilled in your own specific area. But even before that, I'm saying always, always work on improving yourself. Always work on saying, you know, what are the things that I need to clear out of my closet or do, you know, the expression to clean house or to clear house. What things don't belong in this house anymore? And one of them really is, I already mentioned it, is forgiveness. Because often we have people in our life that we resent. We have people that we have blocked out. And that resentment is going to be expressed when you work with clients. If I'm angry at someone in the past for something they've done, what happens when my next client happens to remind me of that former person? They're going to trigger something within me that is then going to affect the way I deal with them. And, in fact, there was one client who came to me, Chris and Tara, who was almost completely devastated because she'd been to a psychiatrist who had made not just a judgment about her, but almost used a horrible emotional judgmental term about her sexuality and about her sleeping with an African-American. So here was someone, a professional, a psychiatrist, a licensed professional, who was bringing his own stuff to the table and really affecting the client. I've had other clients come to me and say, you know, I was attending such and such counselor, such and such therapist, but they said this to me, which completely shattered me. And one of them said to them, well, you know, why do you want to be happy? Why don't you just settle for contentment? Now, that's the psychiatrist or the counselor's perception of life, saying, oh, well, you can't really be happy. You should just reach for contentment. So what I'm saying is look at your own box. Look at your own perception of life and be very careful that you don't project that or hand it over to another client. So that's number one. Are you ready for number two?
I am. Mm-hmm. I think we just want to sort of underline and highlight what you've said, because you're right. It's when it's obvious, like a prejudice against certain people or certain behaviors, I think we're all really clear about that. But I think that it's not always so obvious. In other words...
Yeah. I think that, and the thing that I got, so it's not about being perfect as a coach. It's about being in process, like doing your own work. And what I've encountered in talking to thousands of coaches is that most people can't identify what there is for them to work on. You know, unless you are humble enough to go speak with someone who can reflect that, you're very likely not going to see it. So how do people take a look?
That's a really good question, because I'm just writing today's success newsletter about emotional intelligence, and step one to emotional intelligence is self-awareness. So what can you do to become more aware? And if you want to know, it's easy. Look at your life. Look at your relationships. Now, maybe you're not in a relationship. That automatically says something about you. Number two, what kind of relationships are you having? We're always in a relationship, even if we're single. You're in a relationship with your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, the people you work with. Your next-door neighbor. So look at your relationships. How do you interact with other people? Because that often reflects what you're really experiencing inside. So if I'm on the road and someone cuts me off and I get crazy, that's also a relationship, my relationship to other people on the road. Well, that's telling me that I either have anger or I lack emotional intelligence or I'm not patient or I can't express empathy, compassion, or understanding, or I can't stop and think, well, wait a minute, why did this person do this? Are they in a rush to get to a hospital, or are they simply ignorant? Maybe they are. Okay, now, I still have a way to determine how I'm going to respond next. Now, without going off into a tangent, I want to answer your question clearly. How can you become more aware of what your stuff is? Look at your life. Stand back and take an inventory. Look at your relationships. Look at your results. Look at how you talk to other people. Look at are you freely forgiving? Are you freely accepting? Those sort of things are you probably your first indicators of where you are. The next thing is look at your physical health. So if we looked at your emotional health, now what about your physical health? You know, are you exercising? Are you eating well? Are you sleeping well? Are you, if you're a coach and you're trying to tell someone to, you know, sleep early at night and exercise and eat healthy and stay away from drugs and alcohol, are you also doing that? So I guess the other way to answer that, Tara, is to say, look at your relationships, look at your physical, mental, and emotional health, and then look at what you are telling your clients to do. Are you also doing that?
Nice. So some integrity there, but also I'm hearing Tara pointing to the importance of coaches having coaches or therapists or counselors or guides, that we've got to bring some humility to the party as opposed to some the arrogance of thinking that we may know the answer for someone else.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, Christopher, because people say to me, well, Patrick, everyone needs, you know, who do you turn to? Doesn't mm-hmm. everyone need a coach? I go, of course everyone needs a coach. Why would you think that you wouldn't need a coach?
Exactly.
I mean, if I was perfect, yeah, I wouldn't need a coach. But I actually have people that I turn to, and sometimes it might even be a friend, just to get a sounding board and say, look, here's what I'm doing, and I'm not aware of it. Sometimes I might turn to another colleague and open up and say, look, here's what I'm experiencing, and I don't know why. I can't seem to see it. You know, I have people that I work with that are trainers, and, you know, like a good friend of mine, he's a top-class trainer, And he and I will have these conversations. Well, I'll admit to him and say, look, here's my weakness. You know, I'm finding that I'm still holding this grudge against this person. If I can't admit to other people what my weakness is, I can't admit it to myself. If I can't admit it to myself and others, then I can never heal it. So I would always say, look for someone, because you can always learn from someone. And I just want to add to that, Christopher, that I'm always, always open to learning. I read other people's material. I listen to other people's interviews. I watch and I learn, and I say, yeah, that's a really good point. Let me take that with me. Let me use that in my work with other clients, and let me apply that to my own life. Usually, step one, apply it to your own life, and then step two, share with your clients.
Really great. We've just got under a minute, so I want to make sure people know how to get a hold of you and get more information and get on your success newsletter, etc. The website is Patrick Juanes. Are we mispronouncing that or pronouncing it correctly?
You are pronouncing it correctly.
Awesome. Patrick Juanes. That's P-A-T-R-I-C-K. Last name is WANIS.com. That's Patrick Juanes. .com. And there you'll find some many things of use, including you can subscribe to the Success Newsletter. And Patrick, you've got a giveaway for our listeners today.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. Yes. As you know, you mentioned that I'm a clinical hypnotherapist. I've also created a guided visualization, a guided meditation, a sort of hypnosis CD for stress. You can go to patrickwanis.com/no-stress. And it's free. You can download it, listen to it, use it. It's very safe, and I promise it'll help to ease your stress and relax you.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to ease our stress with a few minutes of commercials, and we'll be back with more with Patrick Juanes. Meanwhile, go to his website, patrickjuanes.com, and we'll be back in just a moment with more on today's edition of The Coaching Show right here on WSRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Coaching Show with your hosts, Master Certified Coach Christopher McAuliffe and Professional Certified Coach Tara Padawa-Wise.
That's us. Continuing now in our conversation with Patrick Juanes. He is a celebrity life coach as well as a hypnotherapist. He holds a PhD, and you'll tell immediately from his accent that he is from Australia originally, but now here in the States. Before the break, Patrick, we were talking about the three biggest mistakes that coaches are making, and we've gone thoroughly over one of them, which is got to clear out our own stuff. We've got to do our own work, ideally with our own coaches, counselors, and support people in place, yeah?
Correct.
What else? What are the other two?
Well, the second one is using your own belief system rather than using your client's belief system as leverage to help them get where they want to be or need to be. So, stated in the positive, what you need to do, or the second most important thing for any coach, is to tap into the belief system of your client and use that to help shift the disempowering beliefs of your client. Now, I'll just give you some background where that comes from. When I was studying hypnosis and hypnotherapy, I also started studying neuro-linguistic programming, a lot of the work of Dr. Milton Erickson, who was one of the world's greatest and foremost psychoanalyst as well as hypnotherapist. And what he always did was he used his client's belief system to help them shift, to help them change. And I'll give you a classic example. Now, I said in the beginning, clear your own stuff. Don't project your stuff onto other people. So let's say, for example, I'm a success coach, and for whatever reason, it's my choice, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in Jesus. But along comes my client, who happens to have very strong religious beliefs, specifically Christianity. Mm-hmm. Now, am I going to try and change their beliefs? Of course not. But let's say, for example, I'm helping them, or my intention is to help them to forgive someone, because this client says, I can't get into a relationship because every time I get in a relationship, my anger from my last marriage stands in the way of my happiness. And I say, oh, okay, so we've now identified what you really need to do is forgive your partner for what he or she did wrong. Now, if I know, for example, that this person has Christian beliefs, I'm going to use those beliefs to help that person, my client, forgive the person in their life. So I might say to them, oh, so you told me that, you know, you're religious and you believe in God and you believe in Jesus. Okay, so what was one of the tenets that Jesus had? What was one of his greatest teachings? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And what were his last words as he was dying? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, so if God, if Jesus can ask his Father to forgive the people that killed him, what do you need to forgive this person? Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm.
Beautiful.
Now, all I'm doing is I'm getting in touch with what they believe. Now, there's a very obvious example because it's a religious belief. But it could be anything. If someone believes that money's really important, I'm not going to tell them it's not. Or if someone believes that their success is going to be defined by children, I'm going to start at that point with them and then work from there. Even if in that moment I think, well, maybe this person's belief is disempowering. So I don't know, Tara, does that make sense what I've said?
It completely resonates, and I'd love to hear more about the children, because what I find is that, for example, when I'm coaching someone who around their healthy priorities, and they have a family-centric model, or even like a culturally-centric model, like they come from either a Muslim background or, in my case, a Spanish background, those sometimes are disempowering. And then what do you do? Like, I get that's a starting point, but then how do you work with that person to expand within their belief system?
Well, what you want to do is look at what is their belief specifically, where did it come from, and how is it helping them or hindering them? Hmm. So if the person says, you know, I might be like you said your background's Latin. Well, Latin people place a lot of emphasis on family. And so maybe you might feel, you or whoever the lady person is, might feel pressure to say, you know, my family wants me to have children, and I believe I have to have children. And I'll say, okay, is that what you really want, or is it something that you were taught? Is that something you were programmed? Then from there, I'll say to them, work out either what they really want or help them to understand how that belief is getting in their way. So maybe it's stopping them. Maybe you say to me, well, Patrick, I really feel that I need to have children. I want to have children, but I also have this great desire for career. And then I'll work with you to say, okay, which belief really is the driving factor for you? Which one really motivates you? Which one do you have passion for? And can you do both at the same time, or can you do one first and then the other? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it's really great. And what I heard you say was you reflect it, and then you invite them to choose, which is completely coaching, you know, just absolutely brilliant. So thanks.
Yeah, and I think it's important, too, that if you can get in touch with what they believe on every level, then you have a real understanding of your client. You don't just tell your client, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to believe. You, as I said before, you start from where they are and step up. Maybe that belief is actually a good belief for them, but maybe they're just not knowing how to apply that belief in their life.
Hmm.
If that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense.
Okay, so I'm hearing the point. I want to make sure that I'm getting the point across.
So what's the third one? Because I'm concerned that we're going to run out of time before we hear the third mistake or pitfall that coaches make.
Not listening to your client.
What?
Just kidding.
Sorry.
Third most dangerous mistake. And I noticed Chris saying, what? I'm glad you were listening. Now, stated in the positive, it is critical, it is crucial to the success of your work with your client to listen. And you'd say, well, Patrick, I think that's pretty obvious. But it's not, because people, most coaches, therapists, counselors, psychiatrists don't listen. They just want to talk. They want to get on a little platform and go blah, 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 blah. But here is the third most important thing I'm going to say in this conversation. And even if you remember this, it's probably the most important thing you can take away. Your client always gives you clues about what their real issue is when you listen carefully. Mm. They will say one word or one phrase or one short sentence amongst a bunch of sentences that suddenly tells you who this person really is and what they believe and what they feel and what's holding them back. I'm trying to think of a specific example. I don't know how much time we have left. But I was actually teaching a school in New York, and I remember talking with one of these girls, because I'm just editing the video today, and she said, oh, yeah, well, I have to work hard. I said, whoa, stop there. What did you just say? You said, I have to work hard to be successful. I said, that's your belief. Now, where did you get that from? Who told you, because this girl's 14 years of age, who told you you have to work hard? Before you answer that, let me ask you a question. Do your parents work hard? Of course they do. She copied her parents. Now, I'm just listening there. So if you listen sometimes, it might be a word where a person says, I always screw up. Whoa, stop. who taught you to think that you are always screwing up? See, so I listen for that one word, and maybe that person views all of life in black and white. I'm either right or I'm wrong. But listen carefully, because your client is going to use a word or a phrase that's going to be the springboard to give you greater insight and depth into that person. If I hear someone say something like, for example, I was on Montel Williams' show a couple of years ago, just before he wrapped up, and we were talking about explosive anger. And you hear a woman saying, oh, no one ever listens to me. And I said, whoa, stop, because she used a very powerful emotional word. Never. Mm-hmm. No one ever listens to me. I think her words actually were never listens to me. And I said, whoa, who in your life growing up never listened to you? Mum and Dad. What she just told me was, this is one of my beliefs, that people don't listen to me. So right there, in a matter of split seconds, I've uncovered what is the root cause of her so-called explosive anger by just listening to when she says, no one ever listens to me.
So it's beautiful examples, yeah.
And it really made a big difference, because then what I did with her, and you can see this on my website, you'll see the video, I then, at Montel Williams' request and at her, with her volition and her agreement, we go and do a quick session of hypnosis, and I help her to forgive her parents for not listening to her and help to shift her belief that she doesn't deserve to be listened to because she was no one listened to her, and that she doesn't have to keep repeating that pattern. And so now she's not fighting and screaming for people to listen to her, and she's not reacting at every moment as if people aren't listening. Plus, if someone wasn't listened to, there's a good chance that they weren't taught how to listen. So listening is really important, and often repeating back the phrases that someone says, which then helps to build rapport with your client. So if your client uses certain words or certain phrases, repeat them back and say, I heard you just say that no one ever listens to you. Is that true? Yeah, that's what I said. Okay, now is that true in your life? Because I'm listening to you right now, et cetera, et cetera. So to sort of summarize those three key points, number one, clear out your own stuff, because that's very dangerous. If you don't clear out your own stuff, you're going to bring all of your emotional issues, all of your own pain to your client, and you're going to project it or transfer it onto the other person. The second thing is, use your client's belief system to help them make the shift that they need to make or that they want to make. And third, listen very carefully, because your client will give you subconscious words that will help you to get greater insight into where they are right now and what's holding them back.
Really great, powerful reminders, Patrick. Patrick, what part of the world do you live in?
I'm in South Beach, Miami, but I travel between Miami and New York and L.A., where most of my clients are.
Indeed. Well, Tara loves South Beach, so I'm sure you'll hear from her next time she's down there.
Okay. I was like, I do the exact opposite commute.
Exactly. We've got about 15 seconds left, so we want to just let people know once again that Patrick has very generously offered you a no-stress bit of wisdom, and that's available at Patrick Wanis, that's PatrickWanis.com/no-stress. Is that right? Great. And you can find out all of his books, over 20 books there, as well as many other free bits of information from Patrick. Patrick, thank you so much for your work in the world, and thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that was extraordinary. Did you feel hypnotized there, Tara?
Yeah, Patrick's amazing. I wanted to ask him more questions. Too bad we don't have more time.
Indeed. We'll welcome him back, and we'll talk about relationships. Meanwhile, we've got more of the Coaching Show right after these words. Stay with us.